So welcome to Straight Talk with Carly Lissa Thorne. And today I have with me the gorgeous Gloria Loring. So welcome, Gloria.
Thank you so much. Nice to be here.
So I would love to, first of all, you know, a lot of people will read long and inundated bios. And what I have found is the audience prefers to hear the story, if you will, from the person themselves. So I'm going to allow you to be the storyteller. So for the first thing I'd love to ask you is, I know you are known a lot from your acting, but I'd like to find out is, you know, what got you into even just starting in your career? What was, I guess, the epiphany or the aha that led you to want to choose the career that you chose? And I know you've done a lot of other things since then.
I just was a singer from the time I was 3 years old. I would get up and sing for anybody who would listen to me. If you stood still, I would sing for you. I would get up in the living room with my family and mimic people on television, even if they were opera singers. And so I started at a very young age singing in choir, being soloist. Usually if I was in a choir before long, I was the soloist. And it was just something I loved to do more than anything. And so by the time I was about 14, I think it was, I started to sing what we would call professionally. In other words, I was getting paid for it. It was about $5 or $10, but I was in a group with three guys and myself. It was kind of like Peter, Paul, and Mary plus one, because I had long blonde hair. And I started there, and then I was part of a duo, one of the guys in choir, Richard and I, sang for a while together. And then when I turned 18, some friends took me to the Playboy Club in Miami, and I got up and sang at their jam session and was offered a gig on the weekend to come and sing four songs to open the show in their penthouse room. And that sort of started me working as a solo, and I did, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of clubs. I traveled the country and in Canada by myself with my music in hand at 18, 19 years of age, never even thinking about how chancy that could be at times. But I did, and I loved it. And I, you know, cut my eye teeth on getting up every night, sometimes doing five shows on a Saturday night. And getting out in front of an audience again and again and again and learning how to relate to people. And it was just an extraordinary education.
Well, a couple of things you said I'd like to touch upon. One is you said I didn't even think about, and I know you know a little bit about metaphysics and energy. And the good thing about you not thinking about it, the fact that you weren't focusing on the fact that things could be okay or risky was why you didn't experience those things. And I hear this story over and over again. The people that actually focused on my world is safe or I am safe or whatever that is, even though some people think a bunch of it's woo-woo or, you know, energy doesn't exist, right? The fact that you were in a way naive at that point in time, you were in a space of passion and a space of wanting to live out your passion in your life, and you did. And I think when we're in that space, it is actually so beautiful and powerful because we're not wrapped up in all the analysis paralysis, if you will. So I love the fact that you did that.
Well, there are two edges to that sword. I got myself in a number of chancy, risky situations because I was pretty unconscious. There had been some inappropriate sexualized contact in my childhood because of alcoholism on my father's part. And I closed my eyes and ears to danger. So there were some occasions when things did not go as a young girl would want. I fortunately extricated myself from them without too much harm. But, I just kind of went forward and did what I did kind of with blinders on, not focusing on, oh, I'm safe in the world. If anything, I thought I was unsafe in the world. So it's interesting you bring that up.
Well, I actually can completely relate. I actually grew up with sexual, verbal, and physical abuse. And it is true. I find I deal with a lot of people that I consult with that come to me. And what I love about the beauty of the world is that we're all drawn to certain people for a reason. And I find, even though I don't know the person's had that history, I will find out because they're drawn to me because they get that I can empath or understand from place. Even though our stories are obviously unique, your story of abuse would be slightly unique to you and mine to mine. So I find that people have been abused. There's usually two sides to that. Like you said, the two sides of the coin. The one of it is because when we are being abused, we kind of leave our body and go to a kind of safety place, if you will. And so we are not really present for what is going on. So in the rest of our life, we do kind of have these blinders on because we, depending on where we are in our healing, right? So, And then the other part of this is we're still learning and attempting to figure out boundaries, right? Mm-hmm. So it is an amazing education, if you will. And I guess I think it also comes down to what do we choose to do with the education?
I wrote about this extensively in my book, Coincidence is God's Way of Remaining Anonymous. It's a quote by Albert Einstein. And I had a series of extraordinarily fortunate coincidences. And someone mentioned that phrase to me when I said, isn't that an amazing coincidence? And I said, wait a minute. Coincidence is what? God's way of what? Remaining anonymous. What does that mean? And it stayed with me. And I found myself starting to repeat it as if I knew what it meant. And I was very smart. But as these coincidences in my own life kind of racked up on a big list, I started to think maybe I need to know more about this subject of coincidence. And so over a period of 10 years, I researched, I read every book I could find, and all of that culminated in my book, Coincidence is God's Way of Remaining Anonymous, which is sort of an amalgamation of quantum physics, practical experience, spiritual understanding, metaphysical detail, because depending on what we believe in our lives, whether you believe you're safe or unsafe, and sometimes these are subterranean beliefs that you don't understand. Somebody else put them in, almost like somebody programmed your computer when you weren't looking. They're default settings. And it's only by starting to see what keeps coming into our lives, those coincidings that are meaningful for us, that we can start to discern what actually is going on for us. Why do I keep attracting so many angry people? Do I believe I should have angry people in my life? Am I angry and I'm projecting that and these people are connecting with my anger and they feel it's okay to be angry? You know, what are those messages? And that's sort of been a lifelong journey, not lifelong, but last 25-year journey for me of coming to understand and help others with understanding how we pull into our lives that which we believe we are, what we believe we deserve, and what those deep messages are. They call them personal myths that are resonating out into the world. And so that's what my book is about. And that's what I work on all the time, too. When things happen, I say, okay, is this reflecting back to me something I want to deal with? Does this hurt? Why does it hurt? What does it say about me? So there's just this, it makes life an adventure so that everybody you meet is a source of learning more deeply about yourself and who you are and how you're acting in the world.
I love what you said. That's just very powerful. And my favorite phrase is aha moments, because it's in those aha moments where to me, it's always a choice point. Am I going to choose to take what I went through and learn, or am I going to choose to be in victim energy or the, you know, woe is me energy, or am I going to choose to take it and learn from it and grow? And so, and I love the title of your book. I was also exploring your website and I really look forward to reading it. So we have some commonality a little bit that we're both in the movie, The Secrets of the Keys. And I could get the sense that you're someone that actually really does have this deep spiritual sense to you. And so a lot of the questions I'm asking everybody, actually, who is in the cast, obviously, is what was your inspiration for wanting to be in this particular movie? Because there are a lot of self-development movies out there. And, you know, there's been a whole trail of them. And so what was your epiphany, if you will, or your reason to wanting to do this particular one?
Well, I know Robin Jay, the producer and creator of the movie, and I know what a passionate person she is. And she offered me the key of vibration. And vibration is very, very important because we can meet people who are saying one thing, but we get a whole different vibrational feeling from them. And that goes for ourselves too. We can be having the smiley face and meanwhile, we're just feeling like, you know. And so to get attune yourself to your own vibration, where am I today? I've had a 26 year long meditation practice. And sometimes it's very short. Sometimes I just sit down and I just kind of check in. How am I? Is anything bugging me? What's going on? How's my head? How do I feel? Did I sleep well? It's this, you know, paying attention the way a parent pays attention to a child. When your child, how are you today, honey? Oh, you didn't sleep well? You know, this idea of having compassion and reading ourselves so that we know what we're taking into our day. And if we find some agitation, can we take some breaths? Can we find a better image, a better thought, so that we can bring ourselves maybe at least neutral into the day, as opposed to starting with "arr," you know? But sometimes it's hard. Sometimes, you know, we're at a level 6 agitation and we can only get it down to a 4, but that's better than 6. So that's why I think it's so important. People say, "Oh, I don't want to meditate first thing in the morning." And I said, "Well, but what you're doing is you're setting your emotional and spiritual thermostat for the rest of the day. When you try to make an attempt to get into a place of peace or an easy waveform for yourself, heart, brain, you now can take that steadiness into your day. And is there anything more wonderful than when we meet a truly steady person? You meet someone who's done an enormous amount of spiritual practice. And for those who are listening, I mean, the spirit of the thing is your essential energy. That's how I define it. It's not just some airy-fairy thing. I mean, we can measure energy. When people are sick, you can see it. Their energy has drawn in. When people are joyous or in love, their energy gets really big and they just shine. And so where is our energy? And if we can bring a steadiness into the world and let that be magnified, we can help. We can be that place of peace for other people. And what a wonderful thing to bring into the world. What a wonderful thing to be for people. So I loved, get back to your question. Sorry, I get off on tangents. Robin said, asked me if I'd like the key of vibration. And I thought, I love that. And I sat and I thought, I don't know what I want to say about that. But I sat down and I started writing. And it came so quickly, about a page and a half of exactly what I feel and believe to be true about the key of vibration. Why it's so important to be checking in every day with ourselves. Where am I? What's going on? So that I can bring a better form of myself into each day.
I love it. And you're right. Robin has this fiery passion about her. And the one thing I actually love is that it's like we were talking about energy and vibration and like attracting like, if you will, right? Is the cast that she brought together are passionate, vibrational, energetic, you know, people. Kate Emerson, just bubbly and fiery, you know, Carol's got that, you know, that kind of sense of humor. And, you know, everybody has, even though some speakers are, you know, maybe a little bit softer, everybody still has a fire, a passion burning within. And so I really love that. I really love the fact that that's the energy she drew around this project. And so for me, I think that is going to be very powerful. So,
and to sit down and watch a movie for 2 hours and see all these people who found something that really fires them up, that is their passion in life, something they want to share, that's a great gift. You know, maybe only 2 or 3 of the people will truly resonate with you right now, but then you might watch it a year from now and somebody else who you thought, what are they talking about, will suddenly be the right thing for you. So I think it's such a great idea that she brought together all these experts and people with such a sense of purpose about what they're sharing with the world into one format, so we can benefit from all that wisdom.
The other thing I really loved that was unique for me anyways, and why I chose to be involved, was the fact that her stories, the way she does them, she weaves in a story. In other words, it's not just all these speakers and talking heads giving their advice, right? There's a beautiful storyline behind it with why the experts come in. Right. So for me, that was really important. I didn't want to just be in another self-development movie where it was just people, you know, talking about vibration or energy, whatever the subject is. I really wanted it to be some sort of backbone, some sort of story, something for people to really connect with. And I love what you said, too, because I truly believe we all learn from each other. And you never know who needs to hear exactly what you have to say in that moment. And so you're right. Some people are going to be drawn to you. Some people might be drawn to Robin's character. Someone might be, you know, jazzed about, you know, Don Miguel's Ruiz's, right? So I think it's a beautiful interweaved story. So I really appreciate you being a part of this, and I'm just really grateful to get to connect with everybody. What I'd like the audience also know, because I want them to get a sense of who you are, is obviously on your website, I know you're a singer and you do music, and I know, you know, in the back days you also did acting. What, and you are obviously speaking, right? And so you're very multifaceted. What is like your main passion right now? Like, what are you focusing on? What is your priority in your career, if you will, right now? Is it the music? Is it speaking? What is your biggest focus right now?
I think that my focus has gotten much bigger. It's not necessarily to have a hit record or to get a series, or my focus is to bring the best of myself to anything and everything that comes my way. Whether it's writing I write a column for Soap Opera Digest called How to Drop the Drama, and it's a little one page. And how do I pack into that one page succinctly and with a vividness, a story and a point I'm trying to make, or if I'm singing a song somewhere. Recently, we did a fundraiser up here that I organized and created and produced and starred in for our school music program to raise money for instruments. And it was it took me 3 months. And I loved every minute. I didn't get paid for it. It didn't make any difference. I loved every minute. I worked with the student musicians. We had Grammy Award and Grammy nominee musicians come up to play for us for free. It was, you know, so whatever it is I'm doing, I'm in the studio recording some new songs. If I'm talking to you, I have on my refrigerator a list that Janet Neal helped us format in a workshop that I did about the 10 most important values, the things you value, aspects of being. And my top three are vitality, aesthetics, and productivity. So, I mean, aesthetics being a beautiful home, keeping myself looking and feeling the way I want to look and feel. Because when I look good and when I take care of myself that way, I feel better, and vice versa. Vitality is so important. Getting sleep. For 25 years, I've used Ayurvedic medicine. And unless I break a leg, I don't go to Western, or, you know, I do that for the mechanics. Oh, tell me what my blood pressure is, kind of thing. But every day I eat a certain way. I take the herbs. I make sure I exercise enough. So I think it's the focus is just being able to bring for the rest of my life now the best of myself to each day in whatever way I'm asked to share.
That is beautifully and very eloquently said. And I think a lot of people don't understand the value of taking care of to me, it's like our vessel or our temple, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know, just because we are some people that are, I would say, they would consider themselves on a higher level or plane when it comes to meditation, they can either donate and convert it into something that's healthy. I always look at the verbiage of just because you can do something doesn't mean maybe that we ought to. So if we have this one body in this physical realm, on this physical planet, what are we feeling? You know, what are we feeding it? What are we nourishing it? And it's, to me, it's always mind, body, business, spirit, because when our business, if your mind is out of whack, it affects your business. If our spirit's out of whack, it affects all these things are interrelated for me. So when I first did my logo on there, it said mind, body, business, spirit. Are you crazy? You can't put the word business in there with mind, body, spirit. I said, oh, yes, I can.
I like it. I like it
all the time. And the business, and I work with CEOs and lawyers and doctors, and their businesses are floundering or there's an issue. It's because one of these other three things are out of whack when I start to get more of the story, right? And we work in these other areas, all of a sudden the business is thriving again, right? So this world, there's such a divide between metaphysics and applications of daily practice. And I finally got really clear that we needed more practicality and less woo energy around metaphysics, and more where I can talk to a lawyer or a doctor and give them real practical daily and in the moment applications. And so it was really fascinating.
We are physical material beings, and we have this essential energy spirit. We have emotions, we have psychology, we have all of that stuff. But it does come down to how does it work? I find myself sometimes getting a book and it's all about theory and concept. And it talks about the things you should do and this and that. And I go, yeah. Okay, I got that. But how do I make that happen? You got to give me the practical application of this. How do I use this information? It's all right to say you have to be one with ether or whatever. Cool. What does that mean? And how does that work? And how do I get out of bed and feed my dogs and take the phone call about the fraud with the credit card? And you know what I mean? It's like, how do I? And so when you can develop a bigger vision, there's a in Sanskrit, because I've studied yoga, and I'm a certified yoga teacher too. I taught for 7 years. I'm not doing it now, but there's a word mantra, and mantra means words that protect the user. Well, what do we need protection from? Well, we might need protection from other people, but most of the time we need protection from our own mind, from the stuff we tell ourselves, the drama we create up here. You know, oh, just my luck. Oh, nothing ever works out for me. So I have a mantra that is my own personal little mantra, and that is all things work together for good. And when something goes awry, I will sometimes remember to go to, if I start to get agitated, to go to my mantra, go, okay, all things work together for good. Somehow this in the biggest possible scheme of things is working out beautifully. I actually have a funny story to share with you. A couple of years ago, I had to have some dental surgery, and they gave me this little pill, and they said, take this before you come. And I said, well, you don't give nitrous? No, just take this little pill. It's called Halcyon. Oh, yeah, it does. It does, takes you to Halcyon, blissful kind of stuff. So I'm in there, and they've got my mouth propped open there, you know, and all of that. And meanwhile, all this stuff is going on the surface, just like in life, you know, all this agitation, and they're drilling and they're doing, and they got the mouth propped open, and it probably hurts, but I don't care because I'm all numbed and I got Halcyon. But down inside the deepest part of me, I am experiencing, not as a thought, but as a full noetic understanding, that this is what life is, that there's all this agitation and stuff roiling on the surface, and you never quite get all the dishes done, and you never, it's always more laundry, and there's always somebody is going off the rails somewhere and in the family or whatever. But at the very deepest level, somehow everything's going to come together and work in a way that, from the largest possible perspective, which, you know, we might say, oh, maybe is that God's perspective if you believe in that, or spirit or eternity or infinity, that somehow it's all working together. Now, I had an experience of this in that moment, and you can chalk it up to the drugs, but also there was a lot of meditating and me trying to find that place. So I was moving toward trying to find that place of peace, and possibly that wonderful little drug Halcyon just opened up the door so I could get in their room. And so now I've got tears streaming down my face because I'm experiencing the absolute blissful beauty of the way the entire universe works. It all works so perfectly. I can't believe it. And the dentist stops and he says, are you all right? And I said, oh yeah, it's also beautiful. It's also beautiful. And I saw him, he kind of looked at me and looked at the nurse like, okay.
It's the drugs.
But you know what? It's not, you know how when if you take nitrous or something at the dentist, you have an experience and, or you're thinking thoughts. And then the minute the nitrous is gone, all the thoughts are gone. But this experience was a true experience. However, it was opened up, and people who've taken LSD or had deep spiritual or peak experiences will tell you that the true experiences change something in you. They give you something, a glimpse at something that maybe you didn't have before. And in spite of the circumstances of being in the dentist chair, that was a powerful moment that has stayed with me ever since then. That somehow at the deepest levels of being, all things are working together for good. What an extraordinary idea. And my earplug keeps coming out. And to be able to come back to that during our days, during the toughest things that can happen, is just this great gift.
It's magical. It really is. And I love mantras. And like you, I've taught yoga and everything. And one of the things I always tell all my clients, and I read all over my walls, and not my physical walls, on my social media walls, is I always tell people, remember these things. You are loved. You are appreciated. You are worthy. And you are beautiful. And I think it's because so many times we don't hear these things. And I tell my male friends too, you're beautiful. And it's really even harder for males because no one ever tells them they're beautiful. They may be handsome or whatever, but it's like when you're in the darkest of places, or when, as you were talking about, the negative, or whatever, I call it the monkey chatter, right? When the monkey chatter is going on and you're telling yourself, oh, I can't do this, and the hows, and, you know, all this, right? It's like, just remember and say to yourself, you're beautiful, you're loved, you're appreciated, and you're worthy. And come back to that place. And I just love that because it's, and I also, by the way, one thing I absolutely love to do is, and I'm sure that just hearing you say other things that you don't understand, is I like to do japa, which is walking meditational chants. Mm-hmm. So I'll pick a chant that I love. And if I'm wanting to remove an obstacle, I may reach out to Lord Ganesh, right? Or peace, you know, whatever it is. And I'll actually chant while I'm walking. And I'll maybe pick four different ones. And as I'm walking one section, I'm maybe chanting one. And I'll do it internally, not necessarily out loud. It's just that if you do, you get to, it just stops everything in some ways. And it's beautiful. I think everybody to listen to what she's been saying. And I encourage everyone to find some sort of practice, whatever that is to you. It doesn't necessarily have to be meditation. It could be japa, which is walking meditation. It could be that you do yoga, whatever some sort of stillness is for you. Mm-hmm. Go find it. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, all the major spiritual traditions and spiritual paths, religion, if you want to say, have practices that are inherent to them. There's the rosary. In fact, all of them have chanting. And there's someone said this to me years ago. They said, you know, you play the way you practice. So you're going to play the game of life, your daily life. What are you practicing? And sometimes, I know I didn't. I didn't know that I was practicing negativity. I remember once when I first started my meditation practice, I was living in Sherman Oaks, and I had a room I had set aside, and I'd made a little puja, a little personal altar with pictures of my family and my teacher who taught me meditation and that kind of thing. And I'm sitting there, and it's a perfect day. All the bills are paid. Nobody's angry with me. You know, I mean, everything's fine. And I'm sitting there and I'm just, okay, I'm going to have a great meditation. And I start breathing and I'm repeating my little mantra. And the next thing I know, my mind is scanning my life and until it finds the one thing that's unresolved. And this person owed me money and wouldn't return my phone calls. And, rah, 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 and I'm trying to wrestle it to the floor. And I thought, oh, Glory, wait, stop. This is not the time for that. Think about it later. This is meditation. So now okay, and I breathe, and I start, and then I do the same thing again. I start going right back to that, like, you know, like a horse fly to a pile of poop, you know? I'm just going to the pile of poop. And I suddenly saw myself. I saw what I was doing, and I went, oh, I have a negative mind. And I didn't realize when I'm not, and I think many of us do, but that would be for you to decide. I'm not going to tell you what's going on. You have to figure it out. When I'm not actively engaged in something positive, in something uplifting or productive, my mind tends to gravitate toward the difficult and unsolved and unresolvable and maybe unforgivable, or so I think. And so I know that it's so important for me. Maybe other people just always have great thoughts and great energy and great spirit and they're just those kinds of people. But I know I have to practice going into peace every day. It just makes an enormous difference.
That's a beautiful thing to be able to give yourself. So first of all, I want to thank you so much for spending such quality time with me. And I really want to just shout out to Robin Jay, who is the writer and producer of the series of The Keys. And I encourage everyone to go check out the website, thekeymovies.com, and that's thekeymovies.com, because Robin has done a previous one that was absolutely fabulous. And I also encourage you to go check out Gloria's website. And Gloria, because this is also a podcast, not just a video, can you please share with the audience where is the best place to go explore and find out about more about you? And I'd love for you to spell it out as well, because there's some people that will just be listening.
Well, I am GloriaLoring.com on the website, and I have lots of stuff there, including CDs. One of my CDs, playlist, actually my Christmas CD also, has a duet with my very famous and infamous son, Robin Thicke. As I tell people, I used to be Gloria Loring. Now I'm hashtag Robin Thicke's mom. And I'm at Gloria Loring on Twitter, / Gloria Loring on Facebook. My personal Facebook is full, but I have a professional page that you can subscribe to, and then you're still connected to me. And I try to answer the messages. It's hard to get to everybody, but I try to be a good girl and respond to people. And I think that's about it. I'm on Instagram too. I guess I'm Gloria Loring or something like that on Instagram. I love Instagram. I love being when I'm traveling, posting pictures of this and that.
Oh, I love Instagram. People are so visual in nature. And what I love about Instagram too is it shows our personalities, not just like business and all these other platforms, and you're showing some of it. But Instagram really is the moment. It really shares a more of a personal aspect of who we are. So you can go to Gloria Loring, and that's GLORIALORING. And as everyone in my audience knows, I always put together a wonderful blog post that has the embedded video, has the embedded podcast, and all of Gloria's information you can explore with. And it'll be all over the place, from Blog Talk Radio to Vimeo to YouTube to Spreaker, iTunes, iHeartRadio. You'll find it everywhere. And I love bringing you guys valuable content and inspirational, passionate people. So I really thank you guys all for joining me today. And you can always find me at CarlyAlyssaThorne.com. And that's CarlyAlyssaThorne.com. Wishing you guys all a beautiful day. And I look forward to being with you next week. Have a great one, everyone.